You know, so, you know, people, as we pray and seek the Lord, you know, God will have mercy and grace upon our land. And that's the only thing that will have mercy and grace upon our land. That's all, people. We need to seek the Lord and ask Him to have mercy and grace and to help us in our time of need. So, Bobby, what was your friend's name that was here last Sunday? What's her name? Ann. Y'all know Ann that was here last Sunday? What's that? Miss Cormier. Okay, yeah. Well, the reason I'm saying that, she passed away last week during, you know, she was just sleeping and they went to wake her up and, you know, but you know what? She had come. This, I think that might have been, her third time? She came. She came twice. And I know she said the sinner's prayer. And so, you know, I said, Lord, thank you for the mercy of God. He knew that she would be gone and just brought her. And she said it. And, you know, she invited God into her heart. And, hey, she's in the portals of heaven, people. Really, we don't cry for her. She needs to cry for us, you know, almost, you know, here upon the earth. But we have the Spirit of the Lord. But, you know, like I said, please let me know if you find out any information about the funeral or whatever, okay? Thank you. And so let's pray for the family. What was her last name? Broussard. The Broussard family? Okay. Father, we just come before you. And Lord God, we lift up the Broussard family. And Father, Lord, we know death it's hard for us, Lord. And Father, you know how it feels, Lord God. And Father, I pray that you would be with the Broussard family. And through this, Lord God, you would draw that family to you, Lord God, somehow, some way. And Lord God, I pray for the means, Lord God, to be able to bury her and take care of all the expenses that need to be taken care of. Supply for the family in that area. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, it's expensive to be born, and it's expensive to die. It is. Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. But God is faithful. God is faithful. If you would, please turn to Genesis chapter 12. And as we make our pledge before our Lord, say, this is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. So, Otis, that's your new gadget? Just for now, okay. You have Jimmy Swagger's Bible on there? Oh, you get it? Oh, Marjorie, he's getting it. Yeah. Oh, Lord. I know he's been getting stuff, and it's funny. It's funny. Amen. Amen. Well, you know, in the book of Genesis, and I know we're going to read some verses in chapter 12, but the book of Genesis, you know, every book in the Bible says a lot about God. I mean, it's just a letter of things that God has written to the human race to show us our beginning. You know, doesn't matter what people believe, but the beginning, how God created Adam and Eve and all that stuff, all the things that we need to live upon the earth. God even told us in Revelation the ending, what would happen. And so God has taken care of the human race from the beginning of time when God introduced, if you want to say it that way, humanity to the world or to the earth. Because we don't know from Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 to Genesis chapter 1 verse 2, there's a span or a gap of time. And so we know Genesis 1:1, the first verse, there was no human beings. And so there was something that happened in between. you might say, well, what happened? And we can kind of, I can give you, you know, I can tell you what I think, what I've read and what I think, but it's not necessarily in the Word. It doesn't tell us. You might say, well, why didn't God put that in there? I want to know. Well, if God thought we really needed to know, right, he would have put it. Right. But he decided not to. And he, in his infinite wisdom, knows what's best for humanity. So from the beginning, God was with us when he made humanity, man made kind, Adam and Eve, and also to the end, that God will be with us no matter what. God will give us what we need. He will be there for us and giving us wisdom that we need. During that time, especially in Genesis, the book of Genesis, there's a man and a lady that he talks about called Abram and Sarai. And we know that God later changed their names to Abraham and Sarah. And, you know, when God changes our hearts and lives, a transformation happens from the inside out. You know, before we got saved, we loved to do some things that were evil. That's the truth. We may not have liked how it felt at times, but we liked it, you know, because of the sin nature in us. But after we got saved, we didn't like it anymore. There was a difference, you know. We may have still done it, though, some things, but there was a difference. We had a repentive heart towards God because of the God that was in us. But God chose Abraham and Sarah, and through them would come the Word of God. We know that. Through them would come the Jewish people. Through that would come the Word and what we have today. But God had chosen these people. Now, sometimes we think, well, in order for God to use us, we have to be young. You know, we can't be a very old age anymore, you know. But I want to show you a picture of a man, Abraham. When God chose Abraham to take him out of one area and bring him into another area, that God chose this man and he was 75 years old. Anybody 75? Oh, Lord, okay. I didn't think, you see, man, you look 50. You know, she's the one that keeps me with all good beans. She gives me beans in the jar and eggs and all kinds of stuff. My Lord. Lord. So I have to really be nice to her. No, and because I love her. Amen. But Abraham was 75 years old when God came to him and said, I'm taking you out of this land and I'm bringing you to a new land of Canaan. Now, Abraham didn't jump up and say, let's go. And that's like a lot of us when God will speak something to our hearts and minds. And we know it's God. You know, sometimes we got to remember whenever, you know, we feel it might be the Lord, we got to remember that we can't let it be our own minds that's thinking things, okay? Because, you know, the devil will throw things in our minds sometimes. Ourselves or God. And so we got to be quick to know the Spirit of the living God. It, you know, the Bible says that my people know my voice. And so we need to know his voice. And you might say, well, Pastor, have you ever missed it? Yes, sure have. Just like everybody else. Because we live in a human body and we're battling, like I talked about, the emotional part of our lives, the soulish part last week, and which is the mind, the will, and the emotions, that sometimes we might miss. But I tell you what, as we train ourselves, as we yield ourselves and train ourselves, we get to know the voice of our Lord and our God and our Savior. And here God had come to this man and had put him on a mission to go to Canaan at 75 years of age. And it wasn't an easy task for him. It wasn't easy because the influence of his family, idol worshipers, they didn't like him leaving like that then. But he stood the test of time and God used him. And also, the more we obey the Spirit of the Lord, the more we take that one step in obedience to him, God will show us something else in obedience to him. We, you know, God may have spoken something to us, to you, or even myself, and we look at it and we go, how can this be? And in all natural circumstances, it's never possible. But God knows the course that it will take to get the job done. And we have to remember also that all he's asking of us is to be obedient in the things that he tells us to do step by step, and we can't worry about the end result of it. That we have to obey what he says today, then next week we obey, and the next week we obey. And then all of a sudden we find out we're where God wants us to be and what he has promised to us. Taking one step at a time. Genesis chapter 12. Look at verse 1. It says, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of your country and from your kindred and from your father's house unto a land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. And I will bless them who bless you. And curse him who curses you. And in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. And Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Now, look at that first part, the first verse. It says, now the Lord had said unto Abram. This refers to instructions that had been given to the patriarch sometime previously. God had spoken to him previously. Before he told him, look at this, to get thee out of your country, a separation, and from your kindred, a separation, and from your father's house, another separation, unto a land that I will show you. God had already spoken to him previously that this would come about. See, when God speaks to you, it's not just for today, but it's for tomorrow, the next day, the next day, the next day, the next day. Now it says, and now the Lord had said unto Abram. That means he was speaking, that's what he spoke to him that day. But there was other stuff previously. Because you see, Abraham, when God spoke to him, because you see, we see this once, but I'm telling you, God spoke this to him more than once. Because when God spoke to him the first time, now I can't prove it in the Bible, but I can prove it from just that first part of that verse, that God was speaking to him those things beforehand. And we don't know how many times. But sometimes it's hard to obey God. It is. It's hard sometimes. There's some things I don't want God to tell me to do. There's some things I'd love for him to tell me to do. But some things are hard, huh? And when God spoke to him again and said, get thee out of your country, from thy kindred and from thy father's house, he was saying, forsake your family. That's hard. That means to leave them and go to a land, of Canaan, where I will show you, where I will build a nation. If Abraham wouldn't have obeyed God, now God could have called someone else, but if Abraham wouldn't have obeyed God, possibility we wouldn't have the Word of God like we have today. And the possibility we wouldn't have the Jewish nation of Israel today like we have today. You might say, well, all that rode on the shoulders of Abraham and his obedience? Yes. Yes. We don't realize that when God speaks, and it's not easy sometimes. Okay, you know, when God speaks, well, look, I want you to buy lunch for whoever. Okay, well, yeah, let's go. Okay. But when he says something that's a little heavier, we kind of get light-footed. Lord, this is not easy now. Lord, you sure? And we even back up sometimes. And we pray a little bit more. And we yield a little bit more. And we say, ask the Lord to confirm it. And we ask the Lord to show us. We ask the Lord to show us every morning. We say, Lord, show me again, please. Show me again. And the Spirit of God is there all that time working. See, the notion sometimes we have is God speaks and then we have to go and do it. And that's partly true, partly. But we don't realize when God speaks, he's already working on behalf of the other part and making it happen. Because there's only a certain amount of stuff that we are able to do. And if God doesn't step in, it won't happen. And so Abraham, when God was speaking to him, now the Lord had said unto Abraham, now the Lord says unto Abraham, saying it again and again, look, I want you to get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house. Because we don't know what kind of influence they had on Abram. Not Abraham. I might say Abraham some, but it's Abram still. The influence, the things that they would say or do would keep back maybe Abram from following God to the best of his ability. Sometimes, and look, I'm for family, but sometimes God may say, leave back the family. Leave back the family. If they're keeping you from following God the way God wants you to follow him, you got to lay them back for a while and get with God and get built up by the Spirit of God. And in times, he will bring it to a round circle to come back to them and help them in their time of need. But I know this, Abraham's father, Abraham's kindred, his family, outside of his Abraham and Sarah, that family, they were idol worshipers. That means they worship not Jehovah God. They worship idols. We've all been in places where they have idols all over the place. Okay. We've all been in places. And anything can become an idol if it's first before God. That it can bring damnation to the children, to God's children. Those idols were going to keep Abraham from fulfilling what God wanted him to do. And Abraham had the choice. Do I obey Jehovah? Or do I follow my father's family? And I'm talking about his earthly father's family. He had a choice to make, people. He had a choice to make. But our Heavenly Father is so faithful. He kept pulling Abram. And it's amazing to me that Abram, being from an idol-worshipping family, it never gives us the picture in the Word of God of how he came to the knowledge of God. You know, I was listening, and maybe this might even be a part of it. I was listening to a testimony of someone. I asked them, we were having dinner and doing whatever, and I said, how did y'all get saved? You know, because, you know, I like to know, you know, you just kind of, how did you give your heart to the Lord? And this, you know, the lady started to speak, and she was giving, I mean, just a rough lifestyle. Rough. She was talking about how they never went to church. They never darkened the doors of a church. I mean, till later in years. But she said, I had a plaque, and she said, I don't even know how it got there. Of the Our Father prayer and just that kind of stuff over her bed. And she said, every night, even though I couldn't say I'm a Christian, you know, they didn't know that, but she would kneel down, never went to church, really basically never taught anything about God, never darkened the door of a church, but she would kneel just about every night. She'd look up at that plaque and she'd pray it. What is it? Our Creator has put a knowing or a wanting to know about the God. And children are more sensitive to it than adults. I'm telling you. And maybe that's what it, and I'm not saying Abraham had a plaque. Who knows? I don't know. But there was something in him that said, there has to be something greater. Has to be something greater than what I know. Than me bowing. And I know he did. He bowed to idols. I know he did. That's what he was taught to do. They made him. They made, actually, Abraham's father and his family made idols. You can go back and read it. They were idol worshipers, but they made idols. Now this is getting a little sticky here. That's how they made their income. By making idols, the family, and selling it. So you have to understand, when Abraham left his father's family, forsaking what he knew, and he's saying to his earthly father, I don't want what you've taught me to do. I don't want the business. I don't want the money from it at all. I'm forsaking it. That was a hard thing to do on Abraham's part, and especially on his father's part, saying, you don't want what we have. That's like us building a business and we want to give it to our children and they tell us they don't want it. We get upset with them. We tell them they're ungrateful. And we tell them, get out. And we sell it. You know? Just think, I want to paint that picture. It wasn't so easy. God just didn't come in and tell Abraham. And Abraham got up the next morning and said, Sarah, let's go. It was a hard thing. We look at these Bible people and we think, you know, they're great men and women. And we think, man, when God spoke to them, they hurried up and they ran and they did what God wanted them to do. Some did, but a lot of them didn't. They struggled just as we struggle at times. Just as we struggle, they struggled. But yet there's a difference today. We have the Holy Spirit living in us. They didn't have that. That was only possible after the death of Jesus Christ. Amen. Look at this. The first chapter, as we had just read, the first few verses, records the first steps of this great believer, Abram, in the path of faith. Family ties held him back, but he was called to go to Canaan. When God speaks, people, we need to listen. And let me tell you, God is speaking. God is speaking. God is speaking. God is speaking to his people. You might say, well, man, what is God going to say? Well, just listen to him. Take the time, people, to sit down, read your Bible. Say, Lord, tune my, and I can't say every day, but I try to remember just about every day. Lord, tune my spirit to your spirit, Lord. Let me know you. Lord, speak to me. Now, you know, some days he does, some days he doesn't. Whatever the Holy Spirit wants to do. But we are to strive with everything within us to get the Word of God in us, to strive to know him. It says, my sheep know my voice. He wouldn't have said that if it wasn't truth. We need to know the voice of this. We need to know the voice that is not of God. And we need to know the voice that is of God. We need to know it. We need to know his voice. We need to seek him for who he is and to know him with everything within our hearts and lives. And Abraham, it says, unto a land that I will show you. Now, can you imagine? He's going to show him a land. We know where he went, to Canaan. But God said, I will show you the land. That's faith, people. What God was trying to do, because you see, God had a lot planned for Abraham and Sarah. God knew the lineage would come down from these two. And they made some good decisions and some bad decisions. So they made some good decisions. They did some things right, but they did some things wrong. But in the wrong, God had mercy. Because they loved God and they prayed for mercy. People, even in your wrong, in our wrong decisions, the mercy of God can still be upon our lives. You're not going to hit it 100% every time, I'm telling you. I want you to, and I want to, but we're not going to do it 100% every time, I'm telling you. Because of what we live in. Yes, we have the Holy Spirit, but we live in a body, an earthly body, that is moved by the soulish man, which is the mind, the will, and emotions. And things happen. But we have the Spirit of God here that can quicken our hearts, quicken our spirits. He leads us. He guides us. And that's who we rely upon, him. But Abraham, moved by the Spirit of God, left his family, left his father, left those things, and went and said, Lord, show me the land. And they traveled to Canaan. You know, in Genesis it says, at one point that the father came and spoke to Abraham. It's an amazing thing. Spoke to him like you and I are speaking today, like I'm speaking to you. Can you imagine you get up one morning and you just go in your living room or your kitchen or whatever, you're drinking your coffee, and all of a sudden, my Lord, you look over and there's a man sitting in your in another chair across the table. And you know it's the Father. Ooh. You know, back then, that's how he would have to appear, because the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, wasn't living inside of them. He would come upon them to do the work of ministry. Would move upon them. We have the Spirit of God in us that speaks to us and shows us things. And it says that the Father comes, and there's two angels coming too with the Father. Now, I'm going to tell you this story, but this wouldn't have happened if he would have stayed in Haran. People, the blessings of God come when we follow what the Spirit says and we follow what the Spirit wants us to do. A greater outpouring of the Spirit of God will be upon an individual as they obey the Spirit of God and he quickens their hearts and souls and moves upon them and shows them more and more things. Here Abraham's minding he's gone doing, but God in all this time, from the time he left his father's house, was just grooming him, showing him things. And he gets to a place and the father comes with two angels. And the father comes to talk with him. And we can read, it's in Genesis. And he says, I'm coming to tell you something. As they come, he speaks to him a little bit and he says, angels, now I need for you to go. Go away a little while. I need to speak with Abraham alone. That's something, people. We may read over it quickly and say, oh, yeah, oh, praise God, but that's something. And Abraham is not more important than what we are. And God wants to speak to us individually, to come and just sit with us. Have you ever read your Bible? And my God, as you start to read, the words leap off of those pages. It's like you want to consume it more and more. You're saying, Lord, show me more. Or the Spirit of God leaps from inside of you because you're feeling and sensing the presence of God. We don't serve a dead God. We serve a God that is real, people. A God that can change our lives, people. Look, all of us were on death row. Maybe not physically, but spiritually, death row. And look, it took the blood of Jesus to take us off of that death row of splitting hell wide open. And to bring us into a land that's flowing with milk and honey. That means it's just abundant. Abundant. You might say, well, Pastor, you don't know the problems I'm going through since I've given my heart to the Lord. I understand. It's not going to be easy. But you press through. You trust God. You let God work in those areas. What do you have to go back to? There's nothing in this world that could satisfy the soul of a Christian or a born-again believer. It will never, ever, ever be satisfied by the things of the world. You can get the biggest house in the world, and oh, you'll love it for a while. I love it. Hey. But after a while, it's gone. We can have all the gold in that house that we want. But after a while, it won't satisfy anymore. We can drive the nicest cars in the world. You know, like the Cadillac. Y'all saw the latest commercial for the Cadillac? I was amazed. The lady has her phone. She said, oh, I forgot my charger. And the lady on the driver says, don't worry about it. And she takes her phone, just the phone, and just charging it without the cord, just, and he knows he's saying yes. I said, oh my God, look at this. You know, we have cars that drive itself. We have cars that park itself. We have cars that talk to us too much, you know. We have all kind of gadgets going off at all at the same time, telling us to change this, move this, you know, whatever, all kinds of stuff, you know. Well, they've done a lot with them. I mean, you know, used to we only had a car just to get from one place to the other. You know, no air conditioning, you know, everything was plain. Now, man, you can live in them almost, you know. But praise God. That's technology. God said in the end days, technology would rise up, people. Thank God, because it takes technology to get the gospel out. Amen, you know. So praise God. So, you know, here Abraham got to the place. He's with God alone, and God says, I need to tell you something. Lot is out there in Sodom and Gomorrah. And I'm going to destroy it. And you can read it. I think it's in Genesis 18 or so. 18:19. And Abraham starts to pray, people. Abraham had such wisdom. He started to pray. Even though the father was right there, he started to pray. And he said, Father,
Don't destroy it. If there's only 50, don't destroy it. Then he got down to 40. Then he got down to 30. And we know the story. He got down to 20. Got down to 10. And you know, Abraham stopped praying. And when Abraham, and you can read it in Scripture, and when Abraham stopped praying, the father said, it's time for me to go now. That's a picture of us. When we go to God, God will never leave us. He's always there till we leave. He never leaves first. It's an amazing statement. Abraham, when he got to 10, he was so sure he had at least 10. He was probably counting Lot and his wife and going down the line trying to think of everybody he knew in that. He said, I think I got 10. If Abraham would have said, what about 5? God would agree with 5. What if Abraham would have said, what about 1? God probably would have agreed. What if Abraham would have said, Lord, what about 0? But your mercy and grace be upon it. You think God would have agreed? I think he would have. That's just personal. Personal. Can't give you a scripture on that. Just personally. I think God would have agreed. Because he loves people. He loves people. And he will do whatever it takes to bring people to repentance. But it's an amazing thing that Abraham, when he stopped at 10, that the father said, okay. And then he left. Look, the father is there for us, people. He's ready for us to get with him. He's ready for us to call upon him. He's ready for us to seek him. He's ready for us to believe him. Oh, that's something, people, to believe him for the impossible. He's ready for us to believe and do whatever it takes. And so what we do is we go to God, and it says, as the scripture says, knock. Keep on knocking. You know, when I go up to a house on the post office, when I go up to a house and I have to knock on it for whatever reason, you know, let's say there is a package they need to sign for, or there was a certified they need to sign for, or something like that, that I have to go to the house and knock on the door. Well, I'll knock. And I can kind of see, you can kind of see if somebody's probably there or not. But, you know, that's not always foolproof because you never know. And so you'll knock again. I'll knock again and wait. And usually probably third time I'll knock again. Now, if I hear dogs and stuff, well, I know the dogs are there, and if an adult, if a person's there, they'll come. And if they don't come, well. But you see, I knock those times expecting someone to come. Huh? I don't knock on the door saying, I know they're not there. Well, then okay, you know. No, I'm expecting when I get to that door for them to come. And then I wait a little while and I knock again. Well, look, that's the same thing as us as Christians, people. Why would we pray without expecting? We need to expect God to answer our prayer. When Abraham went to God and God was talking to him, he was saying, what about 50? He expected God to give him an answer. If you find 50 righteous people, then I won't destroy. And God said, okay, if you find 50, I won't destroy. Well, what about 40? Abraham expected him to answer, and he said, what? If you find 40, I won't. Abraham said, what about 30? And Kenny was like a bidding, you know, 30. And God said, if you find 30, I won't destroy. Well, Abraham said, knocking again. What about 20? God said, if you find 20, I won't destroy. What about 10? And God said, 10. And Abraham stopped. Now, we don't know for sure why. Maybe because he thought there was, like I said earlier, 10. Maybe there was he just felt that was enough. But people, we should never stop knocking. Never stop knocking. It may look like all hell is breaking loose and the waters are so high. that you can't even see in front of you because you've been blinded by the clouds and the darkness. You keep on pressing on. You keep on knocking on the door of the portals of heaven and don't give up. Get a tenacity in you. Don't give up. You may feel like it, and hey, we've all been there. You may want to. We've all been there. But I tell you what, you don't. You might say, well, Pastor, sometimes I can't even knock on that door of heaven hard. But you keep on. Just as the apostles, the disciples were fishing, and they fished all night, and they caught not one single fish. Can you imagine? Everybody's been fishing, crabbing, fishing. Have you ever went and you didn't catch one? You felt like, oh God, you wanted to eat some ball crabs, you're bringing none home. No shrimp, no crabs, no fish. You're kind of like, oh Lord. No fish fried, no zero. Did that stop you from going next week or the week later or 2 weeks later? No, you kept on going because you like it. You keep on knocking on the portals of heaven, and don't let the devil discourage you from not knocking. And you keep on believing. You keep on asking. It says, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be open. Not may be open, but it shall be open. Open. That's a scripture. It shall be open. Abraham believed God, and that was counted unto him as righteousness. That's in James, I think it is. Put up that scripture in James. James chapter, this will be the last scripture. You may stand, please. James chapter 2, yes, verse 23. Look at this. And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. Wow. He believed God, people. Believe God. It may look weary. It may look bad. It may look great. Still believe God. Just believe God. Now, you have to believe God for the things that he wants you to believe in for, okay? You can't believe something and he didn't tell you to believe it. We know God has put in the word that he wants all our families saved, so we can believe God for it. God knows he wants us blessed, because as we're blessed, we can bless the kingdom of God, okay? So we have to believe God for the things that he wants us to believe in. You see? I can't believe for a new car if God didn't put that in for me to believe. Well, that's just almost stupidity, don't you think? Now, that doesn't mean God doesn't want you to have a new vehicle. I'm not saying that, or a new house, or a new whatever. It didn't, you know, just so those things don't become an idol to us. But we have to believe God like Abraham. Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. Now, when he started, he didn't believe God for everything. It was a process of time as he grew in his relationship to the Lord. So don't think, well, you know, I'm not like Abraham. Well, God didn't call you to be like Abraham. God called you to be like him. Trust him. Okay? Don't ever measure yourself up with another human being. If you want to measure yourself up with God. And we know nobody will measure up to him. And you let the Spirit of the Lord work in your heart and in your life like never before. Amen. Would you please bow your heads for just a minute, please? I want to ask you a very important question. Do you know God? Have you accepted him as your Lord and your Savior? Have you accepted him into your heart and life? If you want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, would you please indicate to me by raising your hand? I just want to make sure. Amen. Amen. Looks like everybody. Amen. You can look this way. It looks like everybody's A-okay. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Because you never know, people. You never know. You always have to be ready. Always. Amen. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, for who you are. Father, we thank you for your compassion and your love towards us. And Father, we would pray that the anointing of your Spirit would rest upon the church, Lord God. Father, help us to accomplish your will upon the earth. Father, be with each and every person this week, Lord God. Father, I pray that your anointing and your Spirit would rest upon them. Father, bless them financially, Lord God. Help them in all their ways, Lord God. Father, we give you praise, we give you honor, and we give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Look, guys, we appreciate you. We thank God for you and love you, and we pray you have a great week this week. God bless you.